You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's madness, Ian. It is madness. Everyone's bracket is busted. It's all over. We're all screwed. We're all done. All of your picks are wrong. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Ian Fitz, ESPN is how you find him. Ian Fitzsimmons at Amber W Sports is how you find me, Amber Wilson. So, of course, we are in the midst now of March Madness. Let's start with what happened in the East so far. Duquesne advances, beating BYU 71-67. That was an 11th seed beating a 6th seed. LeBron James should be happy. All of those fancy shoes that he sent that team that his former high school coach now coaches, I imagine those kids are quite happy too.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I mean, what a remarkable, by the way, what a remarkable story. I mean, Keith Dambro, who coached LeBron James at St. Vincent St. Mary in Akron, he's retiring after this year, was a head coach at Akron, now the head coach at Duquesne. He's been a long time, obviously, high school and college basketball coach. Decided, you know what, this is it, I'm hanging him up. And all the people who are saying the automatic bids need to go away and this needs to be the best teams out there, you know, let's change the NCAA tournament and the format, then you would be missing out on this story. Because Keith Dambro, and he's living on. He ain't done yet. And you would not have this remarkable, tremendous in-game interviews with Coach Dambro. He's like, hey, look, we just got to guard better. I mean, look, they're killing us on the outside. But, hey, you know what? I'm living on borrowed time. Yeah, so let's just go lay it all out there and go give them hell. And they did. And they end up winning the game, and LeBron James, as you mentioned, sending the entire team and staff designed King James Nike kicks yesterday to say, you know what, that's my coach, as again, Coach Dambro coached LeBron James in high school, that's my guy. His teammate, LeBron James's teammate, is an assistant coach. One of his high school teammates is an assistant on Duquesne's staff. I mean, who doesn't want these stories? Now, Duquesne ain't going to make it. Probably, I don't think they're making it past. You know,
who cares?
Next round.
They made it here.
Yeah.
This is what
what
matters.
That's my point, is that, you know what? We all know that in the end, we're going to have ones, twos, and a three. And every now and then, we get that remarkable story of a George Mason or a VCU, mm-hmm. right? Or going back to 1984 with LSU, you know, as a 12 seed or whatever the hell they were under Dale Brown and John Williams and the boys. But you know what? This is what makes the tournament so spectacular. So Duquesne survives and advances, and it's a remarkable story. And now that's the perfect example. Day one, early window. You know what? Anybody who wants the automatic bids taken away, stick it. And then you have the bad beat already happening where I got beat. I had Nevada. Oh, I think our entire production crew behind the scenes had Nevada. I don't know if Josiah did. I know Ryan Matlack did. I had Nevada.
I had Dayton in my bracket, actually.
We don't care about
brackets.
I had
Dayton as well, I think.
I had Dayton in my bracket.
I'm not a betting woman. I'm smarter than that.
This is not about brackets.
I'm like giving my money away. You guys like giving your money away.
Making money, Amber. We just didn't do it in this scenario.
During March Madness, I feel like it's a loser's game here during March Madness truly madness.
Last time I checked, we're 62-31-2 and bet to your hands bleed. So we like to make money. But today, so far, we had Nevada -1, and this is another remarkable story. As Dayton survives and advances, they were down 58-39 with 7:19 to go in the game, and they finished the game on a 24-2 run. Dayton comes back down 58-39, outscores Nevada by 22 on a 24-2 run. You want to talk about a bad beat? Cue it up, SVP and Stanford Steve. That's a bad beat for Matlack and I. 63-60. Hey, Flyers, congratulations. You beat us. You're surviving and advancing.
So the seventh seed Dayton there survives and advances. They will see Arizona in the next round because Arizona beat Long Beach State 85-65. That ends the tenureship there of Dan Munson, who was the fired basketball coach whose then team got into a tournament anyways. And so he was still coaching after being fired. Here is the former Long Beach State men's basketball coach saying that he wouldn't change a thing, though, about this journey.
Well, my stance this week doesn't change. I'm the luckiest guy in this tournament in the world to get to do what I got to do today with these guys. I'm really proud of these guys the way we fought today. We weren't good enough today, and you have to be almost perfect in a game like this. The last 5 minutes of the first half, first 5 minutes of the second half, we just didn't play good enough. It was emotional in the locker room, but I made them look me in the eye because there was no heads down, because I can't be more proud. This group needs their heads up high, and I want to thank them for the ride.
Tommy Lloyd's team takes them out of the tournament, though, and ends his career there at Long Beach State. Munson's career, the Arizona men's basketball head coach, was very gracious about the Dan Munson situation. He said he hates it.
Make no bones about it. I wanted to kick Munson's ass. Don't make any bones about it. We're competitors. I mean, so, it's like playing against I'm the little brother, and I've always been the little brother to all those guys. So, sometimes little brother's got to fight back. And, that doesn't mean I don't love Munz. I felt, I almost do now, like tears starting to well up when I hugged him at the end of the game. I mean, it's a lot. And, people don't know what we go through with our families. And think that guy gave 17 years to Long Beach State, and they fired him without another year in his contract. So he's walking out of this deal in 30 days with no benefits, no severance pay, nothing. When you sit in my position and what we put our families through, I don't think that's right. And that guy does not deserve that, because he's a great man and he deserves another job and another opportunity. So, I mean, that's where my heart goes out to him and his family, because, that's the other side. That's the stuff we talk about. We don't just talk about, joking about the game and the Princeton offense, all that stuff. We talk about the real stuff.
Hell of a job there by Tommy Lloyd.
Yeah, and they had that Gonzaga connection. For people who may not remember, Dan Munson is one of the guys that started the Gonzaga run, not Mark Few. Mark Few was an assistant to Dan Munson. Tommy Lloyd was a 20-year assistant at Gonzaga. So they had that Zags tie together, and obviously very good friends. And, look, for Dan Munson, if he doesn't coach again, it's been a remarkable run. From Gonzaga to Minnesota to 15 years or whatever it was at Long Beach State. But that's the tournament. And that was one of the great, again, auto bid. Long Beach State won their conference tournament to get in to give us this story. So I love it. It's a holy day. And tomorrow is as well. And it doesn't get much better than Thursday and Friday, the first 2 days of the madness of March.
So we will be doing this all throughout Amber and Ian tonight. We will, of course, keep you updated on all the live action of March Madness as well. But coming up next, NFL rule changes are heating up. We're going to bring in somebody who has a lot to say about it here on ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Amber Wilson having some technical difficulties down in her casa down in Florida. We'll bring her back in momentarily. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. The only reason that Albert Breer, MMQB.com, SI.com, is joining us right now is because his beloved basketball Buckeyes are not participating in the NCAA tournament. But he's a busy man, following everything around the National Football League. So, because he is not three knees deep in some bar watching his Buckeyes, he joins us now here on ESPN Radio to talk some NFL. Bert, how we doing?
You're assuming I'm not paying attention to the NIT there, Ian. Big win over Cornell the other night.
Good shot, buddy. Good shot. Thanks for joining us, man, as always. And I know you've been busy, especially with all your travels from the Senior Bowl to the Combine and Pro Days. But let's begin with rules changes, Bert, before we get your final four picks. I really do want to hear those. But rules changes coming up. Let's start with special teams in the kickoff. You know pretty much every special teams coach around the league, from Rizzi to New Orleans to some idiot out in Seattle, meaning not Jay Harbaugh, but my brother. So if you can, describe the rules changes starting with the kickoff that have been proposed by the NFL to the NFLPA and the owners and everybody else.
Sure. So the kickoff rule is really interesting because it's something that the special teams coaches have put together on their own, you know, and I think the idea here is to not create fewer kickoffs, which is about like what basically every rule has been about over the last, you know, 10 years or so, reducing the number of returns and actually finding a way to create more. And I think the USFL and the XFL, their tweaks to kickoff rules have helped, the XFL in particular. And so what you're going to see if this goes through is something that's so massively different than what we're used to seeing. And I think the optics of it are going to be the real challenge for the NFL. But and I want to make sure I get the yard lines right. But it's going to be kicked off from the 35.
Yep.
You're going to have the rest of the kickoff team at the opponent's 40. Then there's going to be a setup zone, which is going to be where 9 to 10 of the guys in the return team are going to be. That's going to be between the 35 and the 30. And then you're going to have the landing zone, which is between the 20 and the goal line, which is where the returners will be. If you kick it through the end zone, the ball comes out to the 35. If you kick it out of bounds, the ball comes out to the 40. So basically it's going to be on the kicker to land that ball inside between the 20 and the goal line. Meanwhile, until the ball is fielded, the guys on the kickoff team and the kickoff return team can't move. So basically the idea is to stop the momentum that everybody has when they're running into each other and slow down the play a little bit to eliminate the collisions that you have. And I may not have had every rule right there, but I can say this, this is something that the special teams coaches have been very passionate about and have done a lot of work on. And, you know, whether it goes in or not, I do think that there's a real interest here in putting the return game back into football. And I think it's something that everybody who loves football would have an interest in. And so it's going to be interesting to see where some of the discussion goes next week. I've even, talked to some coaches about the idea, would they put it in for preseason first to see what it looks like, and so you can troubleshoot it a little bit. And the problem with that is the amount of training camp time that you would devote to that play and then having it not be worth anything in the regular season and having to get ready for the regular season in a different context would be really hard. But I think at the very least, now there's an effort to put returns back into the game rather than taking returns out of the game.
That's the positive part of it. The optics going to be maybe tough for NFL fans who haven't seen it in the XFL, which obviously I was calling games in the XFL last year. The optics may be the harder part for fans to adjust to. Albert Breer, MMQBSI.com, joining us here on ESPN Radio here on Amber and Ian. What about the hip tackle? I mean, I was talking to Booger McFarland about this, and he's like, man, defense are – We're already handcuffed, you know.
Well,
how are you supposed to tackle a guy now, Bert?
I think to really illustrate it too, let's explain why this is happening and why it's become a problem. And I think it's really kind of illuminating when you look at the root of it. You know what Seahawk tackling is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Seahawk tackling, for those who don't know, is a technique that Pete Carroll put in that's basically an offshoot of rugby tackling. And the idea is to grab and roll rather than square up and hit a guy. And the hope was, when they started to emphasize this, coaches started to work on it, was that it would take the head out of the game. And it, like, for the most part, really has worked. You know, like, I think it's helped to reduce concussions on impact and tackling. But, like, there was an unintended consequence. And the unintended consequence is, when you grab and roll, sometimes your body weight is going to drag another guy to the ground, and that's going to wind up putting weight on his legs and can create injuries. And they say that this sort of tackle has a 20 to 25 times higher rate of injury than a traditional tackle. I sort of look at it similar to, you know, when they started to police high hits, and then you had guys like Rob Gronkowski getting taken out at the legs. It's a violent game, you know? That's just the bottom line. And you're not going to not make it violent. And so I think the problem here is that when you plug one hole, another one's going to spring. And I don't know where that is, but I guarantee you there's going to be something that they're going to teach, that they're going to have to teach to get guys to the ground with this taken out of the game, where there's going to be something that's unforeseen that is going to create another injury issue. So I don't think, like, the intention of it is bad. Like, I think the intention of it is fine. I'm just not sure that they aren't chasing their tail on this one, you know?
Yep.
And if you want to be cynical about it, you could say, well, this is the NFL looking for shiny objects to say that they really care, while they shovel us midweek football games, a 17th game, two more playoff teams, you know, overseas travel, all this different stuff that, you know, clearly isn't done with the health and well-being of the players in mind.
Albert Breer, MMQB.com, at Sports Illustrated. Follow him on Twitter, at Albert Breer, here with us, with giving you the latest on the NFL proposed rules changes here on ESPN Radio with Amber Wilson. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. She's having some technical difficulties. We'll get that worked out momentarily. As far as pro days go, Marvin Harrison said, you know what? I'm good. You have all the tape you need. I'm not going to run. I'm going to come out of here and watch my teammates at Pro Day. How'd that go over? Because personally, I respect the heck out of it. You know, what do you get from going against air in a Pro Day, or Caleb Williams at USC throwing against air on a Pro Day when you have all that film? I respect the heck out of Marvin Harrison going, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I think we have to remember, like, what Caleb and Marvin are, what class they're a part of, right? And they graduated high school in 2021. Well, why is that significant? 2021 is when NIL came in, right? And so NIL comes in 2021. These guys are freshmen. You know, it's Williams at Oklahoma and Harrison at Ohio State. So these guys legitimately have been making business decisions for themselves since they became college football players. So why wouldn't a guy like that treat this as a business decision? And, you know, if you're Caleb Williams, you don't do your medicals at the combine. Well, why? Well, because the teams have access to my medicals from USC, and anything that they find here is going to be a new injury problem. And so why should the other 31 teams have access to that information when I know only one is going to get me? Right? Like, why would I want the other 31 teams to have my medical information? And same thing with Marv. You know, with Marv, it's like, why should I spend six figures to get myself ready for combine training, for Olympic training, when I know I'm already the number one guy, and I can just spend that time getting myself ready to play an NFL season, right? And I think the Cardinals, the Chargers, whoever winds up with him is going to wind up with a better player, because he doesn't need to retrain his body to play football again when he gets to OTAs in May. These are logical decisions, Fitz, but they really are. In fact, Marv met with nine teams at the combine, asked every one of them, do you need to see anything from me at Pro Day? They all said no. So, like, I think, you know, like, there's this whole rush to think, like, oh, well, you know, we got to look at these guys. Like, are these guys acting spoiled or like divas? No. Like, they earned this. They turned themselves into top 10, top 15 picks. Now they have the leverage to do these things. And is this going to destroy the combine? No. Because most players have to go out and audition for 32 teams, right? Marvin Harrison and Caleb Williams do not, because 32 teams are not going to have a shot at Marvin Harrison and Caleb Williams.
Amen. Bert, what about Arizona and your guy Monty, man? I was hosting for the GM there going, you know what? Hey, you got my number? Call me. We're open to trading pick number 4. What does this do over the next month when it going into the NFL draft?
They should be. I mean, like, look, like, I think this really is going to boil down to how far do you want us to go down and say it's 6 with the Giants or 7 with the Raiders or 11 with the Vikings or 12 with the Broncos. How do we compare what we can get at one of those picks with what we have here? How far is, say, Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze from Marvin Harrison Jr., right? I think that's the question they're going to be asking. And, I mean, look, like, I think what's great about it for them is Kyler Murray played well enough to give them this flexibility, right? Because there was a thought a year ago when Murray's coming off the ACL, they're going to be the worst team in the league. They're going to draft Caleb Williams. They're going to offload Kyler Murray. You know, they really, like, have come to believe in Kyler Murray now, and that's given them the freedom to move this pick if they want to. So they're going to listen to everything. I can tell you that for sure. And, like, they're going to look at the idea of, you know, how can we come away with more picks and the premium player. And, you know, I think, you know, a good piece of history for everybody to look at is what they did last year, where Monty was able to sit at 3, and they were going to take Paris Johnson 3rd overall and move down to 12 and then move back up to 7. And they wind up with Paris Johnson plus an extra first-round pick, which they'll get to use this year. So I think it's all good for the Cardinals right now, and they're in a great position where they're going to be able to maneuver as they see fit based on what they see it for available at 4. And, you know, maybe if there's something comparable that would be available further down the line, how they can stay in that range to select a similar player.
Just, we don't have time for your final 4. Give me your national champ.
I think I picked UConn to repeat because I'm kind of chicken bleep, and, you know, that was the easiest thing, and I haven't followed it close enough. So, and honestly, like, I can give you my final 4, but I have to go through my text messages to see the bracket that I texted over to my buddy that I filled out in 5 minutes.
Bert, we love you, man. Enjoy the NIT with your beloved basketball Buckeyes. No, you're gone.
I can tell you one team that's going to be in the football final 4 next year, though, if you'd like.
Go ahead, quickly.
Well, it's the team that's got 9 top 100 picks that would have been that were draft eligible this
Goodbye.
Year.
Goodbye. Goodbye. He's gone. Bert, love you, buddy. Albert Breer, MMQB Sports Illustrated, coming up next. Why Shohei Ohtani is tied to $4.5 million in gambling debts here on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Rolling along here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive. We are keeping you updated on all of the madness. There's still time to get involved in the ESPN Tournament Challenge, by the way. You can still fill out a bracket. You can even download the app. It's free. It's simple. There's also a link right there on ESPN.com. We're in ESPN Radio League. It doesn't matter where we stand now because everyone's brackets are already busted. I think after the Duquesne win, it was something like 16 million brackets had already been busted on ESPN.
I believe
just
it.
After that one result.
I believe it. Yeah.
That's madness. Look.
And what a great story. And people want the automatic bids gone. You would lose this remarkable story of Duquesne taking down BYU and the same school that LeBron James sent a bunch of design personally designed King James Nike kicks to because his former high school coach is the head coach of Duquesne who's retiring. Yeah, let's get rid of this story. Right. Let's get rid of this. Let's
help that team. Help them. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, there's no cooler person to have help you out if you're a student athlete at that school right now than getting LeBron.
He sent him for the trainers, so everybody. I mean,
it's so cool. It's awesome. So cool. As you should, right, to give back. But that's really cool that he still follows that coach so closely. And I know that he names that coach as one of the most impactful that he had throughout his entire career. So a lot of cool stories here in March Madness have already been revealed. We will continue to keep you updated on the Madness all show long. There's also Madness, though, Ian, in Major League Baseball. And this is genuinely Madness. I mean, if this story, this is the LeBron James of Major League Baseball, right? Like, imagine LeBron caught up and what could be one of the biggest betting scandals we've ever seen in sports history. And there's a lot to unpack. There are a whole lot of questions right now. But what we do know, or what we it appears that we know, is allegedly from Shohei Ohtani's bank account, a $4.5 million wire transfer was sent to pay off an illegal gambling debt. The feds were investigating an illegal gambling ring in Los Angeles. Shohei Ohtani's name came up because they uncovered wires to this bookie, this illegal bookie that they were investigating, that the feds were investigating. ESPN, as I understand it, ends up getting a hold of a couple wires, a couple $500,000 transfers, ends up having a conversation with Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, who's been his right-hand man for a very, very long time.
The entire time
Shohei Ohtani has been in Major League Baseball, and is reportedly one of his very best friends and closest confidants. And that interpreter had initially said that it was his gambling debt, and that Shohei is such a good friend that Shohei was paying off his gambling debt, which, I got to be honest, I know Shohei's worth like $700-800 million. I need the type of friends, though, that are going to just pay off my $4.5 million debt. Like, that, even that story alone is pretty insane, right? Obviously problematic, though, because you can't have Shohei Ohtani paying off illegal gambling debts. So then, of course, that story changes after that story is given by Mizuhara. I hope I'm not butchering that name too badly there, which is the interpreter.
Say it quickly
Shohei
with confidence
Ohtani.
And you're good.
Mizuhara. So then the Dodgers end up firing Mizuhara, and we get the word that Shohei Ohtani has been the victim of a massive theft. That is quote end quote a massive theft. But now we don't know who has reportedly robbed from him. You can try to connect dots there. But what was interesting about that is earlier in the day, in the dugout was Mizuhara, who was chopping it up with Shohei Ohtani before he was fired from the Dodgers. They were laughing. They seemed to be in very good spirits if your friend just stole $4.5 million from you, allegedly. So there's a lot of weirdness going on here, Ian. And the reality is that this dude is the next Babe Ruth. I mean, this is the most important player in Major League Baseball. And any way you cut it, no matter what the truth is, we've got $4.5 million in gambling debt that he's linked to.
So this is what the whole background here also, to elaborate on what you just said, is federal investigators were examining an illegal bookmake in Southern California to a guy named Matthew Boyer. And that's when the feds saw two transfers of $500,000 each from Shohei, with his name on it, from Shohei Ohtani's
bank account
to this illegal book, Matthew Boyer. And Boyer knew where it was coming from, and he told basically the feds that, hey, look, as long as the money was coming in, I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, he didn't care where it was coming from. I mean, he didn't care about the money.
As long as you're paying your debt, I don't care. Here's the difference. If for people who don't know what the difference between a legal book and an illegal book, like ESPN Bet, right, or Caesars or the MGM, you have to put money up into your account, and that's what you wager with. An illegal book, you play on credit, like a credit card. But it's like an Amex. You got to pay that note in full every single week, or you run interest with some guys. Some guys, you can make a payment plan or whatever. But, man, when Mizuhara said that he never bet on baseball, it was Premier League Soccer and other soccer leagues in the NBA, but he never bet on baseball because he knew that was the biggest number one Pete Rose no-no, you know, that being around the Dodgers, around the Angels at the time, and now the Dodgers, he knew you couldn't do it. Red flag. Because
he did say he didn't know, by the way, the rest of it was illegal, even though, again, this was an illegal gambling ring and an illegal book. Look, we are talking about, as I understand it, Mizuhara has been in this country for like 25 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, you know, he didn't, as I understand it anyway. So I don't, there's a lot of layers to this.
And the fact that
the money allegedly comes from Shohei Ohtani's account is incredibly problematic. And Mizuhara originally,
I don't even think it's allegedly. I mean, it's damn near documented by the feds, right? So,
I'm just trying to say allegedly with everything to cover our bases. That's just my rule.
That's the federal investigators that are saying that they've got $500,000 transfers from Ohtani to...
It appears that the money came from it. But Mizuhara had originally said that Shohei had actually sent the wire transfers, which, by the way, it would stand to reason that Mizuhara wouldn't have access to Shohei Ohtani's accounts, I don't know, because I've never had a $700 million, right, Ian? So maybe if you got it like that, you're like, sure, you can have access, buddy of mine, to, you know, 10 milli, whatever. Maybe that's how you're living. I don't know. In my experience, the people who have access to your accounts are, you know, financial advisors, like they could maybe do this sort of thing, or a spouse. But it seems far-fetched to me that your interpreter would be able to send the wire transfers from your account without your involvement. But that seems like the allegation now, although, again, unclear. We don't actually know what's being alleged in terms of the theft.
Yeah, and this remarkable investigative piece by Tisha Thompson on ESPN. I mean, he basically said that he asked Ohtani for the money, and Ohtani said, all right, look, I'll bail you out this one time. You know, and that's $4.5 million. But when Mizuhara says that he never bet on baseball, hold on. If you are such a gambling addict that you ran up $4.5 million and you have all this intel that you hear about injuries and this and that or game plans, and you're in that clubhouse nonstop with one of the biggest names, if not the biggest name in baseball, and you're going to tell me that you're a gambling addict and you didn't bet on baseball?
Although, wouldn't you be better at it if you were on the inside?
Not necessarily, because guess what? Hey, let me tell you something. You never know what happens in sports, because guess what? Nevada was up, big at 58-39 with 7:19 to go, and they end up losing on a 24-2 run, right? So you never know what happens in sports. You can have all the inside intel you want, and that does not guarantee you a W. Bottom line is this.
$500,000 worth of losing. Also, how did he get that credit? Because you just explained it. You know how these things work. You used to dabble, Ian Fitzsimmons, for many years, even before it was legalized. I don't understand. Where's the credit?
As a former book, you set a max on certain players. It's basically like a line of credit. Let's say you start out with a credit card, and your line of credit is $1,000, right? And you come close to maxing out, but you pay it off in full every month.
Interpreter. Then, I mean, what does an interpreter, even if an interpreter is making $500,000, which would be a pretty absurd salary for an interpreter.
Doesn't matter about
$500,000 of debt. How would he have that kind of line of credit with a bookie?
But I'm telling you.
Like Shohei would.
Just let me finish, right? Because so he pays off the first bet, right? And let's say the first bet's 10 grand. And then he comes back with another one that's 20 grand. He pays that one off, right? In full, your line, you continue to be able to bet more and more. Like you may start out just to go our level, right? You start out with a max bet of $100, and you accrue a $300 debt, right, in a week, and you pay it off in full. Well, guess what? I'll extend you now. Now your max bet is 200, and then it goes to 500. As long as you keep paying it off, right, and if you keep losing and you keep paying it off, it's just like a credit card. Your line of credit increases.
At some point, he's not paying it. If there's $4.5 million in debt, that's the other component of the story. I can't wrap my head around. Like, wouldn't he have been cut off by the gambling ring at, you know, I don't know, a reasonable milli?
not if the money is still, as Boyer said, as long as the payments, because you can get on a payment plan like a credit card, right? So as long as the payments were coming in, he didn't care. There's a lot more to unwrap from this story. It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, we're up against it. We don't even have time. We will get to this again later at Amber and Ian, because there are so many layers to this thing, and it could be very, very ugly, frankly, for Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, Illinois cruise past Morehead State, and someone messed around and got a triple-double. That is next here on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The mask. He'll try a three for history, and he hits, holding the gooseneck. The 10th triple-double in men's NCAA tournament history belongs to Marcus Damask. 12 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, and Illinois calls a timeout.
That sound courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Marcus Damask boasted the NCAA tournament's first triple-double since 2019. And you heard there on that call, Ian, the 10th triple-double in NCAA tournament history that helped third seed Illinois pull away from 14th seed Morehead State, 85-69. They are moving on in the dance. Let's bring in the man of the hour, Marcus Damask, Illinois forward, kind enough to join us. And Marcus, I mean, an unbelievable start to this thing. What got into you?
Yeah, you know, obviously a fun game for us, for the team. But yeah, for me, I was just trying to play within the offense and take what the defense gives me. And a lot of credit to my teammates for hitting shots. You know, the assists don't come if the guys miss the shot. So guys were hitting shots, so the assists kind of went up.
Did you have any idea that this was only the 10th triple-double in tourney history?
No, I had no clue. I had absolutely no clue that there was that few many people that did that.
What's that like for you, man? I mean, you're now one of the immortals. Well, I mean, I know it's, you know, the first round and you want to win five more, but just in the moment when you found that out, what was that like?
Yeah, it was really cool. I think when somebody showed me the list, that was when it was really cool. You know, just the names on there, the D-Wade, Shaq, Draymond, Ja, just the names on that list is really some elite company.
Very elite company, Marcus Damask, Illinois forward, joining us here. A triple-double today to start off things here in the NCAA tournament. You've still got a lot left in the tank, though, right, Marcus? You didn't overexhaust yourself today. You've got Duquesne coming up next, and, of course, a lot of more games to win along the way.
Yeah, for sure. You know, we're looking forward to getting back out there and playing Duquesne. And, yeah, I mean, that's a really good team, so we got to be locked in for that scout and just play our best if we're going to beat them.
Let's go to halftime, man, because you guys were down early, big as a matter of fact, and then you rally back to take the lead by one at half. I can't imagine when you're annoying your head coach as long as we have, going back to his days in Texas, at Sam Houston State, that, man, what was that locker room like at halftime? Because in the second half, you guys were a different team. That's the Illinois that we have seen through the entire regular season, the Big Ten tournament. What was said at halftime?
For the most part, you know, coach was pretty relaxed at halftime.
Wow.
Still, you know, they came out and had hit three threes within like the first minute. So we got down 9-0 right away. And since then, you know, we felt like we had kind of controlled the game other than that first minute. So for the most part, we just wanted to continue to do what we were doing because we felt like we had the upper hand pretty much the whole game outside of that first minute.
Marcus Damask joining us here after a triple-double today as Illinois advances. Talk to me about your experience. So you just said your coach, cool as a cucumber all the way out. For you, were there nerves going into this thing? And when did you start feeling like, man, I really am on fire today?
I mean, yeah, there were definitely nerves. You know, anytime you get a big game, I think there's always some nerves right as the ball tips. Once the ball is tipped and you're just playing basketball with the guys you've been playing with for a while, I think the nerves kind of go away. But as far as me, you know, honestly, I never really felt like I was that on fire today. You know, I didn't really shoot the ball that well. But I just tried to make other plays outside of scoring. You know, there's so much more in basketball than just scoring the ball. So I was just trying to make as many winning plays as I could.
Yeah, your shot didn't look like the guy we've seen in the past. But that first three you hit, though, you gave a little look over to the Morehead State bench like, hey, calm the bleep down. Where does that attitude come from? Because personally, I loved it.
You know, I don't know. Sometimes when you're just in the flow of the game, the post-bucket reactions just kind of happen naturally. You know, I don't ever think about what I'm going to do, but sometimes, you know, a look or a little celebration, it just kind of happens.
Loved it. Loved it.
Well, folks, he wasn't on fire with the 10th triple-double in NCAA tournament history. So, Marcus, I am scared to see what it looks like when you get on fire in this tournament. Duquesne coming up next. We'll be rooting for you, Marcus Damask, Illinois forward. Thanks for your time, Marcus. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
A huge win there, obviously, for the Illini. Dude obviously can play. Huge transfer there for Illinois. Certainly worked out for them.
Yeah, coming over from the Salukis. But, you know, I mean, and he's right. I think he went like 5 of 13 from the floor. But as he mentioned, I mean, everything else was clicking for him. And that first three that he hit, I got the box score, 5 of 14, 2 of 4 from beyond the arc. But, again, that triple-double, I mean, when your shot's not falling, guys like him, they find ways to go and impact the game in other ways. And right. It was hitting the glass and dishing. But that first three, he gave that Morehead State bench like a look like, look, man, just
I'm still alive.
Enjoy the moment and then get ready to go home because we're moving on and surviving and advancing. And this Illini group, I mean, that's their 27th win. They are a complete basketball team. And when their head coach, Brad Underwood, gets hot, and I was shocked that he was calm at halftime. I expected him to be talking about, you know, melting, you know, paint off the walls. In that locker room, but it wasn't. And it's the Illini squad, folks. I hope you have them going deep because they can flat out play.
Yeah, you don't want to let Morehead State hang around. They did that maybe a little bit too much there in the first half, but they certainly got to go and took care of business. They are headed to see Duquesne in the next round. That's what happened there in the East. In the West, there were some teams that took care of business as per expected. Number one seed, UNC, 90-62 over Wagner. We didn't get some insane upset there. Maybe some people were rooting for it. Michigan State beat Mississippi State 69-51. That busted just about every bracket I had because I always have an SEC bias. So North Carolina and Michigan State will meet each other in the next rounds.
You can't go against Izzo. An attorney, especially as an underdog. When he's a favorite, that's when you go against him. When he's an underdog and they're wearing those Hunter greens, that's when you don't want to go up against Michigan State. They hit their first 5 threes all assisted on. 8 of their first 11 field goals all assisted on. I mean, and when their backcourt is on, they're damn good. And I was listening. I was driving around, and I heard a post-game interview with Walker today, one of their two-guard. And he said, look, this is the first game, really, that all three of us were really hitting. And when that happens, they're going to be dangerous. And, by the way, feel-good moment of the tourney so far. And maybe I promise you we'll be looking back at this moment at the end of the tournament, no matter who cuts down the nets. When Stephen Izzo, that remarkable story in The Athletic, you know, Tom Izzo's son, he's a walk-on at the end of the bench, gets in the game, and he disclosed that he's adopted and, you know, told his whole story about how, the, you know, the Izzo's really, you know, that's his mom and dad and doesn't know his biological mother, doesn't know his biological father, but his dad and his mom, that's the Izzo's. And when he got in the game, because it was a blowout, and he had an open shot, dished it to Smith, another walk-on, hits a three. Crowd goes crazy. Then there's a steal, and they give it to Izzo. He brings it up, and he's holding the ball as the clock runs down 10-0. And he's just staring his dad in the eyes. And all of a sudden, they have this remarkable embrace. It doesn't get any better than that.
That's special.
If you can't get romantic about the NCAA tournament with stories like that and Duquesne and LeBron James's high school coach, you know, surviving and advancing as he's retiring, come on, man. It doesn't get any better than what we're talking about and watching right now.
It's all one shining moment here in the madness. I mean, it is true, though. That is the beauty of March Madness, is it's all those stories and all the little feel-good stories. And we get so many more of them in the first couple rounds than we end up getting in the championship rounds or the Final Four, right? I mean, frankly, that's why there's so much beauty here in these rounds, where everybody is there and everybody and all those stories are still involved. And when you get those teams that advance and you're able to advance those stories, it's just all the more sweeter. So we are going to continue with keeping you updated on all the madness here on Amber and Ian, because we've just begun to unpack the action that's happened. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio.